Good afternoon and welcome to The Catholic Opinion. My name is Father Anthony Sumich. I'm bringing you the show from the Catholic Diocese of Auckland in New Zealand. Let's begin today's show with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. So welcome back to The Catholic Opinion. Happy Easter for our last weekend, and we're still obviously now in Easter week and still celebrating the entirety of the octave and this greatest of all feasts. Christ is risen truly. He is risen, having overcome death, opened the gates of heaven to those who follow his way and what he wants us to do and follow him, of course, in his one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. In today's show, I am going to get back to the history of the Catholic Church. Last week, of course, we did the Stations of the Cross. But this week, we're going to go back to our history. Our history, when we left it off a couple of weeks ago, we were doing Japan in the 16th century. We had been speaking about just how much violence there was in Japanese society. And although being a cultured society, it was extremely difficult for the missionaries to try and break through because of the sheer degree of violence and acceptance of violence in Japan. If you were not with us last week, I finished off with this breakdown of those who were regional rulers in Japan, some of whom had started to become Christians. But in a society that's just so full of violence, and still more violence by Christians was the last thing that people needed. And this was what happened when some of the rulers had become Christians. They were struggling themselves to break away from the cycle of violence that they had known so much. Of course, Christ reminded us, those who live by this, take the sword, shall perish by the sword. And the newly baptized Francisco of Bugno was one of those particular leaders, and he was badly defeated in the Battle of the Memikawa River, December 1578, and he lost substantial territories, though he did regain Bungo itself. In Bartholomew's domain, there were now over 50,000 Christians, and many of these were probably not sincere converts. Takeyama Ukon succeeded to his father's inheritance of the Takatsuki domain. By 1580, after Valinano had arrived, there were a total of about 150,000 Christians in Japan, and they were ministered to by 20 European Jesuit missionary priests and a large number of brothers, many who were Japanese. Unfortunately, for the most part, were not yet able to be ordained, and there were no less than 200 churches by that time. Valinano himself, the great Jesuit missionary, baptized Arima Harunobu, formerly a persecutor of the church, as Protasio, and he immediately destroyed more than 40 Buddhist temples and pledged full support to the Jesuits, giving them land for a school in his territory. But the Christians in Japan were still not really strong enough to be taking such measures. They're still holding on to too many of these very unjust practices. In June of 1580, Bartholomew turned over to them full governmental powers, civil and criminal jurisdiction, in the entirely Christian city of Nagasaki, which they promptly fortified. At the end of 1580, Valinano established a novitiate at Uzuku in Bungo. Half the first students were native Japanese. In 1582, he took four well-born Japanese Christian youths with him to Rome, but there was still no broad-based effort to ordain the Japanese, and this had become quite a problem in all the countries in Asia. On June 21st, 1582, Oda Nobunaga, now 49 and controlling more than half of the provinces of Japan, residing temporarily in the Honnoji Buddhist monastery, which he had seized, was suddenly attacked by his own troops and killed, or committed suicide. One of his chief lieutenants, Hideyoshi, assaulted the rebels before the month was over and cut off the head of their leader, Akechi Mitsuhide, and placed it before the corpse of Oda Nobunaga. And one could hardly ask for a better description or depiction of Japan's culture of death than rebel Akechi's severed head gazing with its dead eyes on Oda Nobunaga's ravaged body. In the next month, Hideyoshi took over full control of Kyoto, ruling according to Japanese political tradition in the name of Oda Nobunaga's three-year-old grandson. Hideyoshi was the most potent and ambitious conqueror in Japanese history. He built on Oda's achievements and completed them. In 1584, he won the decisive battle of Shugugatake against the members of Oba Nobunaga's family who had refused to accept his leadership. The leader of these foes, Shibata Katsuie, not only killed himself after the battle, but also stabbed his wife and daughters. In 1585, Hideyoshi was officially designated regent and was planning soon to complete the subjugation of the southern island of Kyushu and the still independent province of Odawara in central Japan, allying himself with several of the Christian daimyos. In May of the following year, Jesuit Vice Provincial Gaspar Cello and Father Louis Foy called on Hideyoshi at his Osaka castle. There he told them that, as soon as he had completed the conquest of Japan, he would begin a massive invasion of Korea, through which he would march on no less an enterprise than the conquest of China, a land which he had never seen nor really even knew. He would do this, he said, not to add to his kingdoms and powers, of which he already had enough, but solely to immortalize himself with the name and fame of his power. Though Valignano had strictly charged the Jesuits in Japan not to become involved in its bloody politics, the imprudent Cello hastened to assure Hideyoshi that two Portuguese carracks would be placed at his service for the transportation of his soldiers, plus other Portuguese ships from India. Hideyoshi told him that when he conquered China, he would order all of its people to become Christians. Cello's approval and encouragement of this immoral and madcap scheme has been generally recognized as the greatest single error committed in the Jesuit attempt to evangelize Japan. Not only did it link the Christian church closely with wholly unprovoked aggression, but it gave Hideyoshi every reason to think that if the fathers could promise so much political and military help to him, they could also marshal it against him. In the deceitful world of Japanese politics, suspicion was as good as truth. In 1857, Hideyoshi led to Kyushu an enormous army, 200,000 men, many armed with Western muskets, and won a complete victory, arriving in triumph on July the 12th at the Kyushu port of Hakata. Just 2 weeks earlier, as a kind of portent, Bartholomew, the first Christian daimyo, died. The Jesuits had already had to transfer their college and novitiate in Bungo at Funai and Uzuki to Yamaguchi because of the assaults of Bartholomew's enemies on his domain. Japan under Hideyoshi fulfilled all of Machiavelli's evil dreams about the prince. In the morning of July 2nd, 1587, Hideyoshi invited the misguided Father Cello to meet him in Hakata, told him he would allow him to build a church there, and was taken aboard a Portuguese ship with great good fellowship. Later that same day, he issued an edict which took the missionaries totally by surprise, bitterly condemning them, comparing them to the politically ambitious and very worldly Buddhist monks, and ordering their expulsion from the country. He took back Nagasaki from Jesuit rule and demanded that Takeyama Ukon abjure his faith, but he would not. But Hideyoshi did not really mean it. His purpose was more to frighten the Jesuits than to actually remove them. No less than 120 of them assembled at Hidalgo in January 1588, but only three actually left the country on the annual Great Ship, while the remainder dispersed to the territories of the Christian daimyos, where they could continue their work of evangelization if they proceeded quietly and prudently. At the end of 1589, Hideyoshi set in motion the invasion of Odawara province with an army of the same size that had conquered Kyushu. Odawara surrendered unconditionally to him in August of 1590. He now ruled the whole of Japan. Valignano learned of his anti-Christian edict when he stopped at Macau in China in July of 1588. Nevertheless, he pressed on, landing at Nagasaki in July 1590 to find that Chilo had died 2 months before. Coldly, he commented that if Chilo had been still alive when he arrived, he would have punished him severely for ignoring his explicit instructions to stay out of Japanese politics and for all his actions contrary to the policy and orders of the Society of Jesus. On March the 3rd, 1591, Hideyoshi received Valignano not as a missionary, but as an accredited representative of a viceroy of India, along with the four Japanese who had gone to Rome. He paid them great honour. On the following day, he summoned the excellent Jesuit interpreter, Rodriguez, to regulate his new clock and asked him many questions about Europe and India, while expounding his plans for the conquest of China. But at the end of the month, returning to Kyoto after a brief absence, he declared that though he wanted to encourage trade with the Europeans, he did not want their missionaries in Japan preaching against the Buddhist and Shinto religions and destroying their temples and shrines, and especially, he did not want to see them converting daimyos. On September 12, he officially permitted 10 missionaries to remain in Nagasaki pending a reply to his letter to the Viceroy of India, but ordered them not to proselytize. But he had made his point that the continued presence of the missionaries in Japan was dependent solely on his fragile goodwill. In 1592 died the famous half-blind Christian minstrel Brother Lawrence, a convert of St. Francis Xavier. Steadily, Hideyoshi's megalomania grew. In 1592, he was madly declaring that he intended to conquer India as well as Korea and China, and had written at the end of the previous year to the Spanish governor of the Philippines, demanding his immediate submission. Quote, "You should bear the banner of surrender and come to submit. If, creeping and crawling along, there is any delay, it will be necessary promptly to attack," unquote. In April of 1592, he assaulted Korea with 225,000 men and 700 ships, an apparently irresistible force hurled against a much smaller and less militaristic country. But in this maximum crisis of their nation, Korea produced an admiral named Yi Sun Sin, who had been compared to Horatio Nelson, the British victor at the Nile, Copenhagen, and Trafalgar. Yi deployed a fleet of heavy-timbered, metal-spiked turtle ships lying very low in the water, the likes of which no Japanese had ever seen. Japanese naval communications and transportation were severely disrupted. When Chinese soldiers began to arrive, the conquest ground to a halt. Hideyoshi never came in person to command his army. In May of 1593, the Japanese forces evacuated the Korean capital of Seoul, and by summer, most of their troops had returned home, ignominiously defeated. In the spring of 1593, four Franciscan friars left the Philippines for Japan. Later in the same year, three more came to join them. Incorrectly believing they had permission to do so, they built a church at Kyoto. Evangelization was proceeding quite well, despite Hideyoshi's edict against the Christians and the fact that conversions could no longer be forced. It was estimated there were 300,000 Christians in Japan by 1596, with 60,000 baptized in the 9 years since Hideyoshi's edict. A bishop arrived at Nagasaki from Europe in August of 1596, and one of his first acts was to excommunicate the Franciscan friars for coming to Japan without permission. Hideyoshi saw the depth of hostility between the Christian orders and resolved to play one against the other. His suspicions of dark designs by the Christian missionaries were renewed when the Manila galleon San Felipe was wrecked on the island of Shikoku, broken up, and its cargo confiscated, including a large quantity of arms and ammunition. Attempting to recover his cargo, the ship's captain threatened to call on the long arm of Spain's King Philip II. While his pilot was supposed to have said, no one knows whether he actually did, that Western conquest followed the missionaries. Furthermore, two more Franciscan friars were on the ship and survived its wreck. In December of 1596, Hideyoshi allowed some Jesuits to remain in Japan, but arrested the six Franciscans in Kyoto, mutilated their faces, and sent them to Nagasaki for execution, along with a native group including three Jesuit brothers, one of whom was Paul Miki. A total of seven Europeans, led by St. Peter Baptist, and 19 Japanese Christians, including Paul Miki, shed their blood for Christ in this first mass martyrdom in Japan on February the 5th, 1597. Like St. Peter, they were crucified upside down. In March of 1597, Hideyoshi ordered a new attempt to conquer Korea and invade China from there. The Japanese proceeded with terrible cruelty, killing every Korean official they captured and every member of his family. Japanese received credit for Korean heads cut off by collecting the noses. Just one army presented 18,350 noses. They pushed to within 80 kilometers of Seoul, but Chinese reinforcements stopped them short of it. Hideyoshi again ordered most of the Jesuits expelled, except for Rodriguez, the interpreter, and a few others. Talking to Rodriguez, Hideyoshi said that he had heard that the Spanish Empire was built up by its missionaries, with the Philippines as an example. In September, senior Jesuits met and decided that in view of the continuing official hostility to the missionaries in Japan, they should close their school at Arima and their college at Amakusa. Never stop in one place in more than 2 weeks, wear Japanese dress, and exercise the greatest caution, but not leave the country unless explicitly and personally forced to do so. There were still 46 Jesuit priests and 79 Jesuit brothers in Japan. In Korea in October, the peerless Admiral Yi Sun-sin was returned to command after his incompetent replacement was killed in battle, and once again turned the tide of the invasion. In the summer of 1598, Hideyoshi recalled most of his army for the second time, leaving 60,000 of his best troops to hold the area around Pusan. That summer, Valignano began his third, last, and longest visit to Japan. Hideyoshi, at age 62, was now a dying man, and in mid-August of 1598 called the five greatest noblemen among his supporters to form a council of regency for his only surviving son, Hideyori, just 5 years old. They all took an oath of loyalty to the boy. Oaths of loyalty which stand in the way of the exercise of power are perilously weak, even in countries whose moral and ethical systems are much superior to Japan's. The strongest of these five noblemen, Tokugawa Ieyasu, who was most completely to betray his trust, betrothed Hideyori to his 2-year-old granddaughter, and Hideyoshi died on September 18 after a last fruitless plea to the five nobles to keep their word. In March of 1599, the long-serving Jesuit missionary Father Orangatino, held Holy Week services in Kyoto despite all the edicts against Christians, and Rodriguez, the interpreter, persuaded the governor of Nagasaki not to do anything about it. In his annual report to Rome, Valignano praised the late Hideyoshi for arranging for the momentarily undisputed succession of his little son and for setting up the five-man regency. It is strange that the man who saw so clearly the terrible vices of Japan's indigenous culture could not see how far they extended. In the year 1600, Ieyasu began his move towards power. He attacked one of the other regents who controlled the second largest domain in Japan. Ieyasu was the largest, and he gained possession of young Hideyori. At the Battle of Sekigahara in September, Ieyasu suborned one of his opponent's generals and as a result won the battle decisively. Betrayal was the name of the game in Japan. Defeated regent Mori Teramoto turned over Osaka Castle to Ieyasu, which he made the strongest fortress in Japan. There were still Christian daimyos. They fought on both sides, but stood out because of their refusal when captured to commit suicide in proper Japanese fashion. Meanwhile, in the spring of 1600, a Dutch ship named Liefde, which had sailed more than halfway around the world through the Straits of Magellan, was wrecked on the rocky coast of Japan. With only 24 survivors of an original crew of 110 in the last stages of starvation and dehydration, one of these survivors was a tough and adaptable Englishman called Will Adams, who knew some Portuguese. He acquired fluent Japanese very quickly and thereby was soon able to talk directly to Ieyasu. He told him that his Protestant England was in constant conflict with Spain and Portugal, which he alleged were using their evil Catholic religion to conquer the world. Ieyasu came to trust Adams and in 1601 took him into his service, building warships which attacked Spanish and Portuguese ships. But in time-honored Japanese fashion, Ieyasu nevertheless pretended friendship with the Spanish and Portuguese missionaries, authorizing the Jesuits to live in Kyoto, Osaka, and Nagasaki, and thereby implicitly cancelling Hideyoshi's expulsion edict. In September of 1601, he made Rodriguez the interpreter, his commercial agent at Nagasaki. In October, he gave audience to the Franciscan Jeronimo de Jesu and agreed to send a message to Manila expressing goodwill towards the Franciscans, who were known enemies of the Jesuits, and a desire for more trade. In 1602, Francisco, son of Christian Daniel Antonio Murayama, was ordained in Nagasaki, one of the first few Japanese to receive holy orders. This was commendable, but not rapid progress 23 years after Valignano had called for adaptation of the missionaries to Japan, Japanese customs and culture, and had held open at least the possibility of the ordination of native priests. In August, Valignano called a Jesuit meeting to discuss the fiscal difficulties of the mission. There were now no less than 127 Jesuits in Japan, of whom 70 were priests, mostly European. This was a great many men to support on the very limited income of the Jesuits, which they obtained from their share in the trade of the great ship, which on several occasions was wrecked or captured, while money sent to them from Europe often did not arrive. In January of 1603, Valignano held another meeting to discuss making Japan and China a separate Jesuit province from that of far distant India. 5 days later, he left Japan forever. He was to be sorely missed in the coming years. In February, Ieyasu took the title of Shogun and declared his intention to restore the Bakufu, which Nobunaga had flouted and Hideyoshi ignored, if not destroyed. That same month, he summoned Rodriguez the interpreter to court and gave him high favor. Ieyasu made the Christian daimyo Antonio Murayama governor of Christian Nagasaki. But Rodriguez had not lived in Japan from the age of 16 for nothing. He visited Ieyasu's honest and upright confidential advisor, Honda Masazumi, who warned him that Ieyasu continued to be anti-Christian at heart and did not want any of the daimyos to become Christian. In 1604, Ieyasu issued a rather vague and mild anti-Catholic edict, which was not strictly enforced. There were now about 750,000 Christians in Japan, with an annual average increase of 5,000 or 6,000. But now came an ominous sign. In 1605, Christian daimyo Omura Sumitada seeing that the fathers had cheated him out of the land in Nagasaki, expelled all of them from his domain, denounced his faith, and became a persecutor of the Christians. In that same year, a well-educated Japanese convert named Fabian Fukan published a Christian apologetic which included a penetrating indictment of Japanese Buddhism. He said, quote, "The claim that the land is put at peace by virtue of the God's power is without foundation. Even more unreasonable is the claim that it is put at peace by the majesty of Buddha's law. That is because Buddhism, in the final analysis, is a doctrine which preaches the absolute void and considers good and evil undifferentiated, pernicious and righteousness the same." Perniciousness, I should say. "How can the claim that our mind is a void and that there is no master over punishment or bliss be construed into a basis of peace? Quite the contrary. Here is the origin of revolt and perturbation, beginning with the wars between the houses of Minamoto and Taira, steeped in pride through the Shokyu disturbance all the way down to our times. You will find in the histories nothing but assault in one place and battle in another. About more recent events, you can hear from men advanced in years, the rout of such and such a year, the uprising of another, here a conflagration, there a demolition. All you'll hear. Peace by benefit of the Buddhas and gods indeed. What period in our country's history can be designated as that?" Unquote. Fabian Fukan understood as well as Alessandro Valignano the sources and character of the cultural evil in Japan. Yet the man who could write these words apostatized from the faith just 2 years later and was to become the author of the most comprehensive attack on Christianity in Japan in the 17th century, grimly entitled Deus Destroyed, published in 1620. In 1609, the Portuguese great ship, a carrack named Madre de Deus, commanded by André Pessoa, arrived at Nagasaki with a particularly rich cargo of Chinese silk. Two Dutch ships arrived shortly afterwards in nearby Hiraro. Ieyasu gave the Dutch the first audience, blaming Pessoa for the killing of 40 Japanese in a riot at Macau. Ieyasu ordered his arrest. The carrack beat off several Japanese attacks, but then caught fire, whereupon Captain Pessoa blew himself up with his ship, which went down with all its cargo and most of its crew. Many Japanese greatly admired his self-immolation, but this was not the face Christianity needed to present in this most militaristic of countries. Rodriguez, the interpreter who had been Shogun Ieyasu's agent in Nagasaki, was expelled from Japan 2 months later. Christian daimyo Arima Harunobu was dispossessed of his lands in 1602 and executed. Eight of his samurai warriors were Christians. Three of them held to the faith despite his attempts to persuade them to give it up and were publicly martyred. Thousands of Japanese Christians witnessed the martyrdom, praying and singing hymns to honor it. Four of the other five who had denied the faith returned to its affirmation. In September, Ieyasu wrote to the Spanish governor of the Philippines as follows. "The doctrine followed in your country differs entirely from ours. Therefore, I am persuaded that it would not suit us. It is best, therefore, to put an end of preaching to the preaching of your doctrine in our soil." Unquote. So, with that disturbing statement there by the Shogun, I'm going to draw to a close today's class as we are slowly running out of time here. Thank you, everybody, for coming along. We will pick up this history of the Catholic Church in Japan next week. Of course, this coming Sunday is Low Sunday, Quasimodo Sunday, or the time that daylight saving ends. Don't forget that as well. That's coming up in just over a day or two. And we have the Annunciation of the Blessed Virgin Mary, of course, which is celebrated on 25th of March, has been moved this year to Monday the 8th of April, the first available date after Easter. So we'll be having two masses that day, 7 in the morning and 7 in the evening. So we hope to see you in church and have you back here with us next week. God bless you and have a happy and a holy weekend.